We have been, for the last couple of months, making our way through Mark's Gospel. And today we come to the end. So if you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 1 to 8. Mark chapter 16, if you're in the Pew Bibles, 1024. 1024, Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. And this is what Mark writes. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. We end our reading there. God, we thank you for that word that you have given to us. And as we think about it, Lord, may it speak into our hearts and into our lives today. I pray, God, that the words that I speak are your words. Anything of myself, Lord, hold back from me. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Good Friday doesn't have a happy ending. God died on the cross, and before the sun set, his body was laid to rest in someone else's tomb, and the tomb was sealed. For those who followed him, for those who loved him, it must have felt like the story was over, and there was no happy ending. The day ended with confusion and uncertainty. Is that it? Is something else supposed to happen? What are we supposed to do now? The same questions you might have asked when you were here on Friday night and the service ended so abruptly. Hope had been buried alongside him. How dark Saturday must have been for them. Their story with Jesus was over, and there was no happy ending. But then came Sunday morning. The morning that wasn't a happy ending. It was the start of something new. Easter is the beginning of a whole new story. A new story that is now possible because Jesus has risen from the dead. This is the story that Mark's gospel has been leading us to from the very first sentence, the beginning of the good news of Jesus the Christ. Everything that we've looked at and thought about as we've made our way through Mark's gospel, a God who steps into the world in unexpected ways, who chooses the least, who welcomes the outcast, who shows mercy where others condemn, all of that has been pointing us to today. It's a good news story that tells of a new way of living, a new way of being human, and you're invited to be a part of that story, to make it your own. Mark 16 begins with the women walking to the tomb at sunrise, completely unaware that they were about to step into a new story. Their mission was simple, practical, and heavy with grief, to anoint Jesus' body with spices. I wonder what was going through their minds as they walked. I wonder if they had lost all hope. I wonder if they felt that their best days were behind them and things would never be the same. That the life they had dreamed of following Jesus was well and truly over. I wonder if they were trying to convince themselves that life without Jesus could somehow go on. Did they imagine that eventually they'll get used to living without Jesus? And I wonder how many here feel the same. That living without Jesus is a life that you've become used to. How broken those women must have felt. For these women, every step towards the tomb must have been heavy. As they walked, they weren't only carrying spices and oils to anoint his body, they carried grief. But they also carried devotion. They had seen Jesus heal, teach, forgive, feed, and love. And now, even as they walked through the valley of the shadow of death, they went to honor him. Mark tells us that they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the tomb?" A large stone, an obstacle, blocked their path. They were faced with what seemed impossible. And yet when they arrived, the stone had rolled away. The tomb was open. And the new story, it had already begun. Inside, they saw a young man dressed in white, an angel, a messenger from God. And the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You're seeking Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you in Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." How confusing that moment must have been for them. How could this man who had died, who'd been laid in a tomb sealed by Roman guards, now be alive? Let's not underestimate how shocking that claim is. Dead people stay dead. That's the general rule. What the angel is claiming breaks every expectation. If you were going to come up with a convincing lie about Jesus, it wouldn't be this, that he's risen from the dead by his own power, and now he's alive. And then Mark ends his story abruptly. Verse 8, "And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." On the surface, it sounds like a strange way to finish a momentous story, to finish a gospel. Some Bibles include verses 9 to 20, which tell more of what happened afterwards. Mark's gospel was written about 50 AD, and these extra verses have been around since at least 100 AD. But the oldest manuscripts of Mark's gospel don't contain them. They were added later by early Christians who thought that Mark's gospel was maybe missing a page and wanted to round it off. But we shouldn't assume that anything is missing. I believe that Mark intended this ending. That's not to say that what was added not too long after the gospel was first circulated can't be trusted. But what Mark leaves us with is powerful. Fear, silence, and reflection. What the original Greek actually says is that they didn't talk to anyone on the way. It doesn't mean that they never ever told anyone about the resurrection. It means that as they walked in silence. They needed time to process what was happening. They had witnessed the impossible. They had heard the angel's words. And perhaps it was starting to dawn on them. Jesus had told them this was happening, that was going to happen. He said that he would suffer and he would die and that he would rise again. But in their grief, in their confusion, in the trauma of the cross, they had almost forgotten. And maybe we're not so different. We can hear Jesus' words. We can know his promises, but when life gets hard, when things don't go the way that we expect them to, when people say things about us that are untrue, it's easy to lose sight of what he has said. As they walked, you can imagine what must have been going through their minds. Not just things that they had seen that morning, but everything that they had seen and heard about Jesus. His teaching, his miracles, his mercy, his power, his death. And now this. And they were afraid. Their fear was real, and it could have been for any number of reasons. They could have been afraid that no one would believe them. Afraid of what the authorities might do when they discover that Jesus isn't dead, that he's alive. Afraid of what this new, unimaginable reality might mean for their lives. Even awe can freeze people into silence. And this was the most awe-inspiring event that they had ever witnessed. Their fear and their silence are not failures. It is a part of the story. They remind us that stepping into this new life with Jesus isn't something that we do lightly. We need to pause and we need to process and wrestle with what it means that Jesus is alive. Think about that for the moment. Sometimes our first response to encountering the living Jesus is shouting about it, writing it on social media, or telling everyone at the top of our lungs. But sometimes it needs to be silence, reflection, wonder, astonishment, fear. And maybe that's what Mark wants us to notice. The resurrection isn't something to be treated lightly. We can't dismiss it, and nor can we reduce it to a nice story. It's an invitation to a new life, to a fresh start, to a story that changes everything. And maybe as we sit with that, as we reflect on this, there's a question that quietly sits in the background. Did this really happen? Or is this just a story that people have been telling us for 2,000 years? Because everything hinges on that. Did this really happen? The tomb was empty, and that's a fact. Other disciples and followers of Jesus came and saw it for themselves. Even his opponents had to deal with the empty tomb. They couldn't deny it, so they tried to explain it away. Some said that the body had been stolen. And for 2,000 years, people have kept trying to come up with alternatives. Jesus didn't really die. It wasn't him on the cross. There was mass hallucinations. The disciples stole his body. But when you actually look at them, none of them add up, and all of them contradict each other. Roman guards were stationed there. The tomb was sealed. The stone was large, far too heavy to be moved unnoticed. The grave clothes were left behind, neatly arranged, which wouldn't have happened from a hurried theft. And over the following weeks, hundreds of people encountered the risen Jesus. When Paul mentions that, he says, and some of them are still alive today. In other words, go and check if you don't believe me. At some point, we have to wrestle with this. Either the resurrection is the most audacious lie in history or the most extraordinary truth. And the evidence, the eyewitnesses, the transformed lives of the first disciples all point in the same direction. Jesus has risen from the dead. And if that's true, well, then it changes everything. It means that death is not the end. It means that sin doesn't have the final word. It means that everything Jesus said about himself is true. It means that the cross wasn't a tragedy, it was a victory. It means that this isn't just a story about something that happened 2,000 years ago. This is a story that reaches into our very lives today. The resurrection is not just historical. It's personal. It shows us that God's power can overcome the things that hold us back. Sin, shame, fear, failure, and even death. It shows us that life in Jesus is new life. The disciples who hid behind locked doors became bold witnesses. People's lives were transformed, and so can ours. The beauty of the resurrection is that it offers a fresh start. Every day it offers a fresh start. It means that we're not limited by our past, our mistakes, our sins, our failures, by how we label ourselves or others label us. We're invited into a story where Jesus reigns, where he invites us to follow him with courage and love and mercy. Think about everything that we've seen in Mark over the last few months. Healing the sick and freeing the oppressed. Eating with tax collectors and sinners. Feeding the hungry. His miracles, his compassion, his willingness to confront hypocrisy and speak the truth. His humility, his suffering, his obedience, even to death. All of it builds to this moment. Everything that we've read in Mark is good news. A story pointing us to a king like no other. A king who gives his life for his people. A king who conquers death. as the women walked back from the tomb, silent, processing all they had seen and all they had known of Jesus. Imagine them piecing together the life of this man, the teacher, the healer, their friend, their Lord, and realizing he is risen. He is alive, and we're a part of his story. That's what we're being invited to do today, to reflect on all we know of Jesus and consider what this means for us. For these women, for the other disciples, it was life-changing. The same disciples who ran away in fear and hid behind locked doors, who thought it was all over, became bold. They became courageous. They were willing to give their lives for all that they had seen. What had changed? They encountered the risen Jesus. And that's still true today. When people encounter the risen Jesus, they're never the same. Because the resurrection isn't just proof that Jesus is alive. It's an invitation to a new life. A fresh start. A life where you're not defined by your past or your failures or your sin or your label, but by his grace, by the identity he gives you, his daughter, his son, a child of God. Not because of what you've done or achieved, but because of what he's done. So what does it mean for you? What would it look like for you to take that seriously? Not just as a tradition, not just as something you come and celebrate once a year, but as something real. What would change in your life if Jesus really is alive? Because those women didn't stay silent forever. Yes, they were afraid. Yes, they needed time to process, but eventually they spoke. They told others, and the story spread. That's why we're here today. But before they spoke, they walked in silence, in awe, in wonder. And we can only imagine what must have been going through their minds. Not just what they'd seen at the tomb, but everything that they knew and heard about Jesus. The lepers he touched, the outcasts he welcomed, the meals he shared, the forgiveness he offered, and the cross he suffered. And now this, he is risen. The women went back trembling and astonished, but the story doesn't end in fear. Death does not have the final word. It begins in wonder, it begins in hope, and it begins with Jesus is alive. And he invites you, each one of you, to be a part of his story, to step into new life, to live it boldly, faithfully, and joyfully. As the choir sing to us in a moment about the life of Jesus, about his love, his mercy, and his sacrifice, use this as a moment for your own silent journey from the empty tomb. Take the time to pause, to reflect, to allow the reality of his life, death, and resurrection to sink in, to think about all that he has done, all the things you've been told about him. Let it sink in, and then let your heart respond. This is the good news, the beginning of the good news of Jesus the Christ. Those are the words that Mark chose at the beginning of his book. And now that we've reached the end of Mark's gospel, it still feels like a beginning. So the question isn't, how does the story end? The question is, will you step into it? Let us pray. God, the tomb is empty. Death has been defeated. And life is victorious. Life in Jesus Christ. A life that you invite us into all its fullness. And perhaps, God, as we sit here, we have already stepped into that new life, but not in its fullness. Perhaps we have still allowed things of this world to hold us back. Struggles, fear, failures, labels. God, today, give us the courage and the strength to cast them aside and to step fully into this new story that you have invited us to. We're stuck, God, in that opening chapter, in that opening paragraph, but God, we want to step into the fullness of the story. Give us courage, God. And perhaps as we sit here today, we haven't. Perhaps we're still uncertain, unsure, unbelieving of whether Christ really has risen, of whether the tomb really is empty. God, may the words that have been shared today penetrate hearts today, God. May the invitation of new life and a new story, Lord, may it echo deeply into the hearts and the minds of all. And God, I pray that today a new story will begin. A new dawn breaks. The sun has risen. He has risen indeed. And it's in his name that we ask these things. Amen.